Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my beautiful co-host, Veronica Entwistle, with all her new teethers.
I'm smiling. Do they look good?
Oh, they're beautiful, honey. You're
with
blinding
me. With the lipstick on and everything?
I know. Yeah. Oh, me too.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, everyone.
We're being refoundationed. We're getting new teeth and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, why not?
That's right.
And I'd say something here, but they'd probably bleep us right off the air. So.
Not if you're fast.
Oh, well, no, I got some new things, too, but I can't talk about them.
Okay.
So, and they don't show. So. Oh, Lord, we're lost. This is it. I think the energies have just finally cracked us right up, or at least maybe me. Okay, tonight's show, Avatar the Movie, and I'm so excited to do this tonight. And we're going to discuss the significance of Avatar, what it really means to humanity and the Earth, and how it's impacting the collective. The team has just bugged me nonstop about this, so I'm very excited to be doing it. Tonight's dedication to the opening of the consciousness of humanity to their connection to all of life in the universe. And that is every single bit of life. Not just out there, but our little ants and bugs and everything. So, Veronica, I guess
don't
you have
forget
not...
the Venus flytrap.
The Venus flytrap, too. I wish you had seen this movie. I didn't realize that you and Bob had not seen it. So,
if you blow the ending tonight on the air, I'm going to be cross.
Okay.
No, I can handle it.
Okay. Now, sure. New teeth and she's a bitch. Sorry, everyone. That's an inside joke. Okay. I need to talk about the intensive a little bit here. The announcement is now up on the website under the events link. And there's been some additional information on room rates because people are calling and everybody's getting a different rate. This is the magical room rates. So if people are planning on coming, I really recommend that you get in there and book reservations as soon as you can. And believe me, I can tell you they're all over the map. The next intensive I do, I will block rooms. I'll have a better feeling for how many people will be there. Couldn't do it this time because I really had no idea. This is such a unique intensive. The team takes me into the whole feeling of the intensive through the music. And just going on, and somehow I'm directed to the music that they want to play. And it was very interesting because we're going to be starting in Atlantis at the end of The Last Destruction, where we actually join Isis and Osiris to go to Egypt. And then we will spend some time in Egypt and then go to the Holy Lands. And there is this huge connection, interestingly enough, between Mary Magdalene and Yeshua, Isis and Osiris. As all of this is unfolding, it's pretty mind-boggling. And trying to do the intensive and understand where they're going with all of this, they wanted music from Atlantis and music from Egypt. And I'm like, okay, just a minute. Here, let me just whip this up. And trying to get everything coordinated on the website. And the website, we will be able to do sessions, and they'll be right up on the website. You'll be able to download them at the end of the day. By the time we're all done with all this, there'll be MP3 files. For those who still want tapes, you'll get tapes. But let's see here. So I'm practicing right now with a two recorders. So I can figure out how to do this, because if I don't train, I have to be kind of on automatic. Otherwise, I have no idea what I'm doing when I'm in jail. I actually walk around and laugh at myself all day long. It's like being a collective myself. It's very funny. Tomorrow night, biggest full moon of the year, and I'm assuming that they mean big in terms of the size of the moon rather than the impact, because I couldn't find anything on the big full moon tomorrow night. Other than it is the brightest full moon of the year, it's a perigee moon. Does that sound right, Veronica?
I think it does, yeah.
Perigee or perigee, whichever.
I think it must be perigee, but I actually don't know. It's not a word I flip around in my vocabulary.
Well, that's one of the few. It's 14% wider and 30% brighter than other full moons that you'll see later in 2010. Mars is having a close encounter with Earth on Friday night, January 29th. It will join the moon for an all-night-long conjunction. So buckle up, folks. It's like, you know, we've been on this roller coaster ride enough that we should know every twist and turn. Energies are very intense right now, and Veronica and I were talking earlier, and it feels like we're being pushed to step into something more bigger than what we had maybe imagined for ourselves or thought was possible. But I'm certainly experiencing this with clients as I talk to them, feeling this incredible energy of, and I guess birthing is probably the best description of them being birthed into a whole new level of themselves. I know I'm going through it, and I see you going through it, Veronica.
You bet.
So we're kind of being squeezed through the eye of the needle right now. Unfortunately, somebody's poking me in the butt with theirs, so... I don't want to do this one again, okay? I'm opting out. So let's talk about Avatar. This is so exciting. I got this incredible message from the team that I was to go. It was homework. I was to go see Avatar on Monday night, and I whined and said, I don't go to the theater on Monday night. It doesn't come on till late, and they didn't care. Monday night was the night. I was to go see it in IMAX 3D, and I was fortunate that my son went with me. Interestingly enough, this article, and I have to share it with you because it wasn't printable, but this is the article that I found on Monday morning. This is a special report, Avatar can make you sick and suicidal. And I thought, well, gee, thank you, and you guys want me to go see this. People are plunging into depression after seeing sci-fi blockbuster. People want to join this virtual world because times are so hard. It goes on to say, you know, of course it's kind of sensationalized, you know, Avatar might kill you.
That's a bit much, isn't it?
Yes, it's not going to kill you. And, of course, it has now moved into first place, you know.
Doesn't Avatar mean the very, very realized high beings that are put here on the planet to really radiate consciousness among people?
Yes.
Well, it seems.
Well,
is
of course.
Is that what the movie does?
Well, no, but you have to remember that you've got people from the collective writing these articles, darling. So they're looking for the sensationalized version of this. One of the comments here was, thousands of people have developed an obsession with the fantasy world and indicate they'd rather die than return to Earth's gritty reality. One moviegoer was suicidal, saying that the real world seemed gray and his life had lost its meaning. I don't really see any reason to keep going, doing things at all. I live in a dying world. People want to join this virtual world because times are so hard right now. The economy's bad. People are out of work. We're fighting two wars. This idyllic world is a stand-in for what we'd like Earth to be, a wonderland peopled by noble beings. There you go with the noble beings, Avatar. And, of course, they go on to say, you know, people who have these responses are, you know, need therapy and...
We all need therapy. We know that. Takes a lot to emerge on the planet these days.
Now, what was interesting, you know, I said to the team, I don't do war. You guys know this. I don't like, you know. So they said, go as a clinician. You know, go into your other self and go as a clinician. Okay.
Did you wear a white outfit?
No. But I did shift my consciousness. Now, what was fascinating is I got a massive headache, which we could attribute to wearing the glasses with IMAX, which means the figures are off the screen, and literally you're standing right next to them.
Oh, my God.
Versus 3D, where they have depth. But with IMAX, they're standing right next to you. You're literally in the middle of conversations and experiences.
Wow.
And I got a massive headache. I couldn't stop peeing, which is very frustrating. So it triggers my bladder. I got incredibly nauseous and a gut-wrenching kind of nauseous. Anything from the motion. It was not that kind of a response. This was cellular, and I was fascinated by the way I was responding to this movie. What I did is I had to get up and move away from all people and go to a place where there were no people. Now, as soon as I was away from everybody who wasn't being triggered, my body calmed down. So what I realized is I was picking up what was happening to everyone around me at a cellular level. Fascinated by this. So as a clinician, it was much easier for me to watch this film. Just a little background here. These are little tidbits that I picked up from the James Cameron, who was also the director of the Titanic and directed this film, has had this movie in his mind for many years. Now, the figure I've actually been given is 40 years. His mother had this intense dream about the Nave people. These are the blue beings that you've seen in the film, and dreamed this whole experience in terms of the Nave people, how they looked, how they worked, how they responded, everything. James Cameron has been waiting until the time is right to bring this movie forward. Now, you know, I have to say here, he was absolutely, totally guided. I don't think anybody out there questions that for a moment. And if anybody who saw the Golden Globes, you saw his response to the award, and he was quoting the Naves. I'm just going to share with you some of the things that the team was giving me while all this was going on. It's not like I wasn't enough watching the movie. I've got all this dialogue going on in my head.
You live IMAX, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. Remember me? I'm the one with all the fans in my bedroom, so I can't hear all the noise going on. I cannot sleep without that noise, white noise, blue noise, whatever they call that kind of noise. So the team explained to me that there was this three in a series of events, and this is not to ignore what happened in New Orleans and Haiti, which were to soften, you know, humanity to look at other people, especially because they were so close to us. And Americans tend to be a little detached about what's going on in the world, so we needed something in our own backyard and then again, you know, across the street. But the big three are 9/11, which shocked the consciousness of man, the Da Vinci Code, which kind of created a crack in terms of embracing the divine feminine, and all the distortion that existed in terms of, didn't get it all, but it began that crack with the Christ lifetime. And now Avatar. So I'm just going to go into some of the things that the symbologies that I experienced, okay? There was so much. I mean, you actually would have to see this movie multiple times in order to really kind of, because it is such a total experience. You're so immersed in it. And because it's triggering so much at the cellular level, the subconscious and the unconscious level, you're watching it in, whether it's 3D or 3D IMAX, you know, you're having a very visceral experience. So, of course, the obvious was the way that the Nave people on Pandora were connected to nature and to the creatrix or goddess, okay? Now, many people compared that to the American Indians, and so there's been a lot of comparisons in this movie to the American Indians because that's the way the collective would compare it. You know, they're not going to draw a reference to beings on other planets because they don't really have a frame of reference for that. Another extraordinary piece that was that in their tail, they would connect to animals, they would connect to the creatrix energy, the goddess. They would literally wrap their tails together and have this immediate response where it was a shock and then be connected forever, even in their love relationships. When they would go to worship and ask for something, there would be these energies that would wrap around them, and much like roots, and their tail would then wrap around it. It was just an extraordinary, the whole connection aspect of this was so extraordinary. How they connected at such a deep level. This is where it gets really exciting for me. The way in which the scientists, okay, whose consciousness was transferred into the genetically created beings that were a hybrid between humans and the Nabe. So they literally created these hybrids, and they were in terms of their physical being, were hybrided, all right, to a degree. They looked just like the Navis, but there was genetic engineering with humans in there as well. And the Navi recognized them as not being fully Navi. They got into this bed-like thing, and then once they went into the dream state, their consciousness was transferred into the Navi-like being. Now, this symbology, some people may have missed this, but I have to tell you, this is, we live a dream. What we experience here is the dream state. The dream state is the more real. And if you don't know that, you're going to miss this piece. So if you haven't seen the movie, please pay attention to that because it's extraordinary. And I'm bringing up pieces that probably aren't going to be obvious to some people. I mean, even, you know, when Bashar comes in and Bashar is channeling through Daryl Anka, Bashar will say, thank you for dreaming us in. I mean, you know, we really have not explored the whole concept of dreaming and what that means. And because I do so much work in the dream state and I have different people coming in that are, you know, we're working in the dream state with the team, you know, doing amazing things. And I'm just waiting for people to realize that. Some of the people we work with are very aware that that's happening right now. And in fact, a little one, the daughter of one of our clients, who has been channeling this being from the mothership, is actually, she was working with us one night, all night long. And I just love this. I'm just like, oh, wow, the kids are involved too. It's so fun. Of course, the other levels of symbology, the perfect state that the people lived in with nature and each other. But there was also, you see, a time on this planet when we were avatars. We lived this way in total concert with all of nature and each other. And so as I watched the Navi people, for me, it was triggering huge memories of having lived this way on planet Earth, not only on other planets, but here. And this is what I felt, and I think this is what makes people physically ill. And as the movie goes on, I truly do not believe that James Cameron knows a lot of what's going on here at a conscious level, but is bringing, just like Dan Brown, didn't really realize the impact that the book The Da Vinci Code would have on the planet. He didn't realize the controversy it would create and how much impact it would have. So the humans have gone to Pandora, this planet, and are mining on this planet because they have found a mineral that is so precious and so expensive. And the biggest part of this mineral is where the home is for the Na'vi, this particular group of the Na'vi people, in a tree, the tree of life. I mean, the symbologies are just amazing. And this tree is gigantic. I mean, it's beyond anything you can imagine. And so what happens, these marine-like people who are on Na'vi attack the Na'vi, or on Pandora, excuse me, attack the Na'vi people in order to get to the minerals, and they blow up the tree of life. Now, again, the symbology, unbelievable here, because as they're coming in for their attack, they are in these droid, they actually physically man these droid-like beings that are as big as an apartment building, is the only way I could really describe them. And they're inside. One man puts this thing on his hands and his feet, and this machine responds to him and looks like a giant droid. And as you're watching these droids coming in, all of these planes, it is so reminiscent of the Dracos when they came into this planet, impacted our DNA, and literally destroyed the Garden of Eden. I mean, that's really what this planet was at the time. That's when I got physically ill, is that it was so deep for me that I was like, oh, my Lord. And people are watching this. They don't have a clue what they're really seeing. Now, this has happened with the Dracos, and the Dracos are a part of the reptilians. They are not all reptilians, so please don't misunderstand what I say here. They were the warlike faction of the reptilians. They were very brutal, as portrayed by one of the men in this movie, ruthless, heartless. And so, again, the symbologies, the metaphors, so deep that to me it was mind-boggling, absolutely. And it took me time to kind of download, because that's all happening while I'm sitting there and I'm getting physically ill. And it took me time to download all this. Once I got home, I was just like, oh, my Lord. I was, like, blown away. And I've heard many people say they went to see the movie, and when they left, they couldn't speak. They really didn't want to talk to anybody.
Were you horrified?
No, because I was in my clinician.
Hmm.
Okay, I had to go there. I had to go there, Veronica, in order to be able to do this movie. When I'm in the clinician, I'm detached, and I have great support from the team to stay that way. That's why they were yakking at me the whole time. You know, it's kind of like going, huh?
Look at this, look at that.
Yeah, going to the movie with a bunch of friends, you know, and they're like, oh, watch this, you know. What was wonderful and what saved the day, and I'm not going to go into the storylines between the love and what happens, all the other things, you know, of leaving the hero of the story, you know, wanting to join them and so on. Those are all the obvious things that you'll all see if you haven't seen the movie yourself, or certainly know for yourself. But to me, the critical point, okay, and was that the creatrix, or Mother Nature, or the goddess, did not judge anything, always stayed neutral. And the hero made a plea for the goddess, if you will, to intercede on the behalf of the Na'vi people. And all of nature turned against the attacker. And it was an extraordinary. Now, you know, from an entertainment perspective, and I hope all of you that have seen it, maybe you'll go back and see it again, kind of with these other things in mind. It is so deep. What's so exciting is that this is being viewed by so many people, and I've talked to so many people who've gone 2, 3, 4, 5 times to see this movie. They can't get enough. And they are being literally cracked wide open without realizing it. What the team has said to me is that this is preparation for contact. This is the big one. This is also helping us heal from this huge damage, because in Atlantis and in Egypt, we had interactions with extraterrestrials. But some of the things that happened where we, our DNA was really altered, those were tragedies. And this goes back to, you know, our fear of anything reptilian. Most people have a fear of anything reptilian, snakes, whatever. And it's so deep in our unconscious, we really can't access it. So this was kind of the things that I really want to talk about tonight, because I am so excited and I can feel it. I can feel it happening, and I can tell you that I literally had to go to the bathroom. I had to pee 3 times during that movie. That's how much it triggered my bladder. And it was uncontrollable. I mean, I couldn't, until I finally moved away from everybody. The 3rd time I said, I am not leaving again. I'm going to go over here all by myself in this whole area I found by myself. And then everything calmed down. But even being around people and feeling how they were being triggered was amazing to me. It was so exciting. So I see this as a really huge, critical point for us as a humanity. And, you know, we've looked for contact in such obvious ways, okay? And I love the way that things come in a way that you don't expect or suspect. And they come in the back door, and all of a sudden you realize that this is impacting people at a level that is beyond anything imaginable. And it didn't come from ships hanging out overhead or landing on the White House lawn. It didn't come from a massive sighting. It's literally being done at the level of consciousness. I think it's beyond brilliant. And what I found very interesting is the Catholic Church is having some concerns. I love this one. That this movie would trigger a return to paganism because of the honoring for all of life that is depicted in this movie. How interesting is that, Veronica?
Well, I guess they're dealing with this, the fact of not honoring life a lot lately. The Catholic.
Well, I think, again, I love it when the Catholic Church finds something controversial, because they found the Da Vinci Code so controversial, and all they did was really help it. So
all publicity's good, right?
Yes, I would have been disappointed had they not had a problem with it. And I don't mean this to be unkind about the Catholic Church at all, because I know that they're very involved with, you know, contact and so on, and they're preparing for it. What scares them is paganism. That's what made me laugh.
I think they're just worried about losing all the people that might have been in their group, hey?
Well, of course. And actually, Catholicism was, they pulled in a tremendous amount of pagan symbology, was incorporated into the original church in order to pull the pagans in. So I found that, it, you know, including holidays. That's why Christ's birthday was moved to Christmas. So they had to go into the holidays as celebrated by the pagans and then incorporate them in, you know, into the religious structure. And so, you know, for those of you, and I'm sure that so many of you got different things, remember subjective reality. Just because of what I have shared does not mean the things that you got weren't real. So certainly this is not to make anybody else wrong or to say that I'm the only one that's right. I know that the team was having a grand old time sharing all of this with me. And I'm messing with my mind. In a very loving way. Please understand, it's very loving. And
deconstructing your limited mind, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And people are being drawn, not just because this movie, I mean, it was like overnight this movie just blew out. It was an overnight thing, and that's what I find so incredibly exciting. So this to me, you know, when they talk about this as an orchestrated event, number three, that this is the big, you know, the big, and it is the big one. I can feel it. And I can feel it cracking, you know, as energetically if I just, you know, kind of run across the planet. I can feel this shift, and it is so extraordinary. It's so extraordinary. The return to that kind of oneness, that kind of dominion, because of the different ways and relationships as depicted with the animals of different varieties on the planet, the honoring of all life. And whether people draw the parallel to the American Indians, who are very connected to extraterrestrials, they, you know, I'm really going to be fascinated to see if somebody, you know, can go further with it and starts bringing up extraterrestrials and so on. I mean, not that that's not in here. Certainly it is. But now the blue beings, and I just want to share this, one of our wonderful people, Laura, who's an artist, actually painted these beings years ago. And the only thing she didn't paint them as was blue. I have had clients who, and one in particular that I'll tell about, that he was Mormon, or is Mormon. He had come to a demonstration I did when I first started the work. I'm talking about the first 2 weeks. And I had an evening demonstration at my home. And so there were a whole lot of people I didn't know because I just moved here. And this young man got on the table, and when he did, everybody was riveted because they could feel the energies in the room shift. And his wife told him if he came back and had a session, she'd divorce him. So he had to come see me on the QT. So he had a session, and I left him in the healing room for a little bit. He wanted just to be up there alone, and he could actually see their faces and so on. He was very excited. So he decided that he was going to make contact and slept with a fan like I do, which makes me giggle always. I can always recognize him. And so he woke up about 4:30 in the morning, and the fan was going. And he said, "This is it. I'm going to make contact." And he laid there and started raising his consciousness and going, and the fan started getting louder and louder and louder. And finally, it sounded like a jet engine. And at that point, he saw all these shadows on the walls as these beings were moving around. I could see all the shadows on the walls. It was just like they were moving up and down the walls. And he lifted up out of his body, and he wasn't certain if his whole body got up or if he lifted up out of his body. Went to walk out of the room, and as he did, he ran smack into a blue being. And he said, "The first thing that came out of my mouth was, 'You are so beautiful.'" And he said, "But I didn't say the words, I communicated telepathically." And he said, "I couldn't get over how beautiful this being was." And I thought it was so wonderful as I look back on that experience now and understand with such great clarity as we're down the road 6 years, that watching these beings, the Navi, although looking very different from us in many ways, were incredibly beautiful. And I think everybody who saw the movie felt the same way. They saw, they were able to accept and appreciate their difference and see their beauty. So
what
I
did the team say?
About
them.
Well, we really never went into that. We were looking at symbology. We weren't really looking at the race itself. That wasn't really
I'm prompting. I thought maybe they had something to say now.
They may. I'm going to go into channel. All right, welcome everyone. Our poor channel's remembering things as she's moving out of the way. We had to push her out. We told her we'll take it from here. All right, welcome everyone. So good to be with you. And with you, dear Veronica.
And with you, thank you.
Now, a very exciting time on your planet. A very exciting time on your planet. Now, Veronica, you were posing the question to our channel about what do we think of the beings. And we want to share with you that they are cat-like, representing, of course, the Sirians. Not a true representation, similar in some ways, all right, because there are so many different races in your universe that you can't even begin to imagine them all. But there were enough similarities that part of the symbolism in the movie, you see, was the Dracos against the Sirians. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Well.
Now, for many of you, all right, who are aware that the Sirians are very involved, of course, with Egypt and the pyramids, etc., that sensing, this is why one of the reasons that you have people who are strictly cat people, don't like dogs. Dogs are all right, they're all right. Now, there are, you know, this is the dog days of summer and so on, and people think of it as the dog star. But the feline, and certainly there are those on the team, but again, many, there are human-like beings that are Syrian as well. More human looking. But again, symbology here, all right, of the Sirians, all right, regardless of color. Now, there's kind of a combination of beings in terms of their representation. There are blue beings, yes. There are cat-like beings, yes. All right, one of the primary races in your universe. Now, interestingly enough, that the humans really did represent the darker side of the reptilians. And that is the way that they were portrayed, except for the scientists. All right? Except for the scientists. Now, we encourage all of you to pay attention to what's been said here tonight. As the channel rattled off all of her, she was very excited since she had to go do this as homework that she got it all right, you know, or at least got it, at least got it, and she did. And she got through it, of course, without massive crying, although she did have some tears. In order to pay attention, not to let her emotional body get too involved, that's very important if you're going to be there and try to decipher. Now, this is a significant time on your planet. Yes, this film is going to create a lot of controversy, and it's going to stir people to look for something more, to crave something more, something deeper, something that touches their soul. You see, in this tree of life in which they lived, they were all connected at the soul level. Nothing was separate, and as they connected with certain, they're flying kind of lizard-like beings, which were not, they were really quite beautiful. And they connected with them for life once they had one that chose them. All right, and they chose it. They were connected for the life of both beings. It would fly about the air on them. Now, there are a number of symbologies here that are kind of piecemeal, different pieces from different times on your planet. Now, James Cameron isn't aware that he was doing this by any stretch of the imagination. He didn't know where all of this was coming from. But as it came together, you see, out of his and other people's subconscious and unconscious, as it came together, onto the screen, there is enough in that mix to prepare you all for contact. To counter the other things that have been shared in the form of movie, drama, filled with fear. And sensationalism. Oh, they're going to come and get you. They're going to eat you. They're going to, you know. The depiction, of course, between good and evil, light and dark. Greed. War. All of these things represented. At a time on your planet, when people are more receptive than they've really ever been. You see, if things were all sailing along right now on the planet and everybody was making lots of money and everything was really rosy, as you would put it, all right? Everybody had jobs and everybody was feeling really good. This movie couldn't have the impact it's having. Does that make sense to you, Veronica?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You see, you are open vessels right now more than you've ever been. That's not to say that everyone is struggling. But the uncertainty, that's pervasive. The uncertainty is pervasive because the world as you have known it really is no more.
It's almost like as the frequencies are moving up, the uncertainty makes it easier for our frequencies to move, so we're insecure even on a vibrational level, aren't we?
Yes, you are.
Opening to greater...
Well, yes. You see, not only that, but the distractions don't have the hold that they've had.
Right.
All right? Because people aren't getting the levels of satisfaction that they used to get. The uncertainty shakes at the foundation of your lives. Families are different. Everything is different. It's coming at you from all levels. We have children walking around saying, you know, I'm not human.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a human. One child said to their mother, oh, I'm so happy to see that you're not the mother I had before I was born. But now you're a different mother, and you're so much nicer.
That's great.
Now, this kind of wisdom from a five-year-old, you see. From a five-year-old. It's coming in at every level. It's coming in through your children that are being born. Many are already on the planet. They don't have to be newborns to be these extraordinary ones. many are in their 20s and even some in their 30s, you see. And certainly all of you, you know, of every age, we have the whole variety. But you're different, you know that. Not everybody does. These young people, many of them know that they're different. They don't fit. And the very young ones don't really care what anybody thinks about them. They know they're different, and they're not afraid to tell you they're different.
Mm-hmm.
They're too young to worry about being accepted, you see. They haven't gotten to that piece yet.
Maybe they won't have to because it's changing so fast.
That is the goal.
That'd be great.
That is the goal. Now, from this extraordinary work will come many forms of discussion among people. This will be conversations at dinners and over cocktails and, you know, at family picnics. And but the yearning, you see, at the level of soul, that's going to stay with everyone, whether they're aware of it or not. It triggered something deep within them. And whether it awakens today or begins to unravel over a period of time, it will unravel. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is a time of great excitement. Great excitement. And we do recommend that for those of you who haven't seen this movie, go see it. For those of you who've seen it, see it again. Look at the different symbologies that the channel talked about. She's got them right. We made certain of that. So that you can point some of these things out to people that are ready to hear. Now, don't try to prove a point to people that aren't ready. That's not going to help them. That might make you feel good, but that's not going to help them. You see, you share information when people are ready to hear it. And you'll know, you'll sense that you can bring up different pieces here. The wonderful piece that the channel shared, that the humans had to go into the dream state for their consciousness to go into the creatures, the artificially created creatures, not really artificially, but genetically created creatures, who without the human consciousness had no consciousness. They were created artificially. Correct. But needed the consciousness of the humans to come to life. Just that piece alone, and we want you all to work with that, if you will, a little more. Think about it. That you're experiencing a dream here, and when you go to bed at night, you're going into the more real. Now, not when you're having your scary nightmares crying out loud. That's not what we're talking about. You're all doing extraordinary work on the other side of the veil. That's just the mind filtering things. The human mind. While you're off doing other things. And then when it's time for the human to awaken, you come back into the human body. Now, that's an exciting concept. You can play with that one a lot. You can intend your consciousness more and more. Just playing with that piece alone to bring more back from the dream state or the more real. Now, doesn't that sound exciting, Veronica?
Well, it really does, yes. You get to
does
travel.
Does that make sense to you? Sorry?
We get to travel.
Well, you're traveling anyway. Now you're just going to become aware of it.
That's right. That's great.
Now, if this is a dream, which it is, that means that you can change it. It's malleable. What does that do? It empowers you even more. It gives you a greater sense of dominion. Now we hear some of you saying, well, wait a minute, look at how hurt I was about this terrible thing that happened to me. Yes, emotions are real. Emotions are real. Your response to what you're seeing, to your subjective reality, that's real.
And we're going to have to draw to a close in the next minute and a half.
Oh, all right. Veronica, talk about your show, dear.
Next week, Tuesday night, I'm going to be talking with, I believe I'm going to be talking to Christine Upchurch from Eric Pearl's Reconnection. We talked once before. Very, very inspiring woman who will help you connect to your own, more of your own power. And that's at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. And then on Thursday is, again, Radiance by Design. We've been talking about emergence, and it's wonderful. It's a call-in show, so I look forward to that. And then you at 8 o'clock next Thursday.
Right, and you're at 7.
Yes.
All right.
Maybe by then we'll all be avatars.
All right. Well, you already are. You just don't know it. All right. Now, we would love to work with all of you tonight that are willing. Perhaps we would say the most exciting thing is for you to really be able to taste or touch the other side of the veil. And so what we would ask that you do is call us in tonight with the intention of bringing something back with you tomorrow morning. Now, we're going to warn you, the moment you start to wake up, check in, even stirring a hand or a finger or anything. What's there? What's there? What's there? Now, don't obsess. Perhaps an image. Perhaps a feeling. Certainly filled with love. From the more real. Remember to be the ambassadors that you are, everyone. Remember, this is what you came to do. You are the bridges. And be excited. Allow that excitement to absolutely radiate from you. Because all these people are being downloaded with all of this information. And when they run into you, boom, trigger. Because you carry more than you know with all the work we've done with you in your energy fields, and all the work you've done, and who you really are. Know that we love each and every one of you. We honor you. We support you in more ways than you know. And Veronica, you as well.
Thank you so
much. And all the exciting things ahead for you. And exciting things for all of you people, all of you. Know that you're all, you said emergence, emerging into who you really are. We love you. We look forward to working with you in the dream state tonight so very, very much. And until we speak with all of you again in this format, be the avatars that you truly are. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much. I guess we're all going to the movies. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jackie, for all that you bring to us, and many blessings, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.